from Sandquist Fields. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
It's time to talk softball with the man, the myth, the legend, Duke Weisbrod. And also, what's his name? Chris Fernanda. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Cambridge Isanti Softball Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome to season two of the Cambridge Isanti Softball Podcast. This is Chris back here with Duke. Duke, how's it going?
Not too bad, Dr. Chris. Doing fine.
It's been a while. How's your winter been?
Well, not too bad. Not too bad. I get through the winter by chasing basketball games everywhere. 45 years, probably this week or last week, that we beat a number one ranked Duluth Central team up at the Duluth Arena and played in the state tournament in 2AA, the big schools. Yeah, I've been chasing basketball games, watching. I was thinking about something the other day. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that you meet through the softball world. That's where I was mainly going to games all over the area. Just want to mention, like, Sean Stancer's daughter, Amira. She's a sophomore at St. Francis. Collected all kinds of awards at the end of the year. Just a nice basketball player. Very gritty. And has her dad's intensity, I can tell that. James and Mary Klimek, I've seen them quite a bit at the basketball games. They were watching their nephew, Elias D., who's speaking about gritty. He is extremely gritty and has a great three-point shot. Thomas McKirkin, sophomore for Zimmerman. His dad, Casey, played a lot of softball. That young man has got a great future. Evie Porta, Phil's daughter, and she's got a great future as well. Going to be a good ball player. So I went to Chisago a couple of times, watched Rich Beaver and his daughter, Ricky, who a lot of people know from the softball world. They've got two sisters. I should say Rich's daughters, but Ricky's sisters, Claire and Teddy Beaver, and then Jimmy Beaver, his boy Brody, has had a good career at North Branch. So, like I say, chasing basketball over the place and watching softball parents' kids.
Yep, no, it's fun. We've got a pretty jam-packed episode to get you prepared for the 2024 season. Duke is going to help me cover the Sandquist Park news, local player and team news, and key tournament dates. I'll then go solo for a bit to preview the men's, women's, and masters leagues. Then I'll be joined by Alan Goldsmith to preview the church leagues, and then finally I'll wrap things up with podcast-worthy plays. So let's get started.
As far as the park goes, just like annually every year, it's just we got a lot of things to do in a short amount of time here.
Right, and I understand that there were half dozen or so volunteers out there today helping get stuff ready to go for opening day. Things like getting bases installed, signs cleaned, all those things that are not really that fun, but necessary for us to be able to have a season. So we do appreciate everyone that was out there today. Working with Jeff Munson to get some new picnic tables. He built us a few. So we purchased a few of those. So thank you, Jeff. They look great. And we're working with Josh Zeeland to redesign the tournament bracket displays. The ones that we have, we all know, they're kind of on their last legs. They've been kind of wrecked from the rain over the years. So that'll be a really nice improvement as well. What else you got, Duke?
You know, this is kind of a small thing. We don't have the lights on field 1 and 5 yet, but as most people know, we've been working hard to get that handled, and they're expensive. I mean, they're, I believe, $170,000 a field. That would really, really help us out. And I know the city is trying to find an avenue there. They did, however, put parking lot lights down in that west parking lot behind the farm down there, and that really brightened that place up, so it's safe and they're real bright, like I say.
Right, getting kind of close to the season here, so My understanding is we're looking for some help for concessions as well. If anyone's interested in that, should they just reach out to you directly? Or
yeah, I'll post something within the next couple of days. But it's a perfect little job for somebody that that has a little bit of spare time, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours each night. And then we've got several tournaments this year. And, of course, what we shoot for is be on time and be clean. And we've got some Department of Health rules we've got to go by. I just went down to the Safe Serve training again the other day. We don't make swordfish or poultry or anything like that, but the things that we do, we need to be very safe and above board on. So we will be looking. There'll be a couple nights here in April, and then things cut loose early May.
All right, so looking at local player and team news, what do we got so far this year, Duke?
Well, as we said, it's quite early. The Pizza Pub did go down to, primarily with their team, went down to Kansas City, I think, and went 4-2. I think that was good for sixth place down there. Mm-hmm. Getting back to the leagues and so on, I know that the Woodchucks will be happy to have manager Christina Schumacher back. She's after her and Aaron had twins last year. She's a baller. And then Amy Brown has fought through her injury to her arm and shoulder, so she's back with the Jailbirds. Just a quick shout out for some fundraisers for a couple teams here. Apex is April 13th, 7 o'clock out at Jumping Jacks, I think. The Jailbirds, April 20th, 5 o'clock at the Highway Inn. And the Beavers out of the Women's League at the Crystal in Mora. That one starts at 7 o'clock, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, those are great. We're happy to spread the word. If you guys have any fundraisers for your teams, would like to mention on the show, we're happy to do so. And I want to take this opportunity as well. Just to let everyone know, you may or may not know, but one of the players who's been on Sandquist for a while, Dustin Derby, was in a car accident in January. And he has a long recovery ahead of him. It sounds like he'll be out of work for at least a few more months. And they have a GoFundMe going for him to help support him and his family. I'd encourage everyone to consider donating to that if you're able to. I'll put the link for the GoFundMe in the show notes. Otherwise, if you just go to our Facebook page or Facebook group, there's a couple of posts that have that link in there already, and we can post it in there as well. But Dustin's a super nice guy. I've talked to him a few times out at the complex, and you know, let's take care of each other and help each other out when we're down. So I know him and his family would really appreciate that. So
you bet. Yep. Dustin's lives in Gonvick, Minnesota, I believe, up by that Bemidji Thief River area.
Well, comes to the way, yeah,
comes to the metro area for his job and to support his family, and then goes back on the weekend. But he's probably hit the longest home run I've seen at the new park, and that was on the new field, on field 5, and over the trees, and that reassured me that I wouldn't park in that front row out there if he's yep. up to bat. But sounds like he's got a little road ahead of him, but our thoughts and prayers are with him. So.
Absolutely. So looking ahead to this summer, we have quite a few tournaments, and we've got the dates, it sounds like, finalized for those. You want to run down those?
Yep. First of all, Chris, I want to speak just real briefly about, I had several requests last fall to try to do a women's tournament on the first weekend of May, and I know we talked about it at our fall board meeting. It looked like things were going to be okay and we could probably pull this off, but the stars just did not align. I think that the women's world deserves support, and we always have dug deep to put on a good tournament for them. But Like I say, I was all fired up last winter, and I believe the Salem one-pitch tournament, the church tournament in Dalbo, mm-hmm. is that weekend. And a lot of our staff, including probably your family, Craig Alstrom's family, Alan Missy's family, several people play in that tournament. And, you know, we don't want to do a tournament with 50% effort and coverage. So, like I say, the stars just did not align. So sorry about that, ladies. But, yeah, we're going to concentrate on doing two really good tournaments for the ladies. The Classic, June 5th through the 7th, and then the Tournament of Champions, North American Championships, Women's State on August 16th through the 18th. But we'll kick it off with a little tournament on June 1st called the Lady Lions Invite. That's Derek Maygard, Mike Bitz, out of Ogilvy. Probably have about 10 teams in that.
And that was a busy tournament last year. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you were there, yep. And I think they're at 5 or 6 right now. So they'll get some more teams. Mm-hmm. But as you know, we get the kids on the field because eventually they're going to be softball players when they get a little bit older. Mm-hmm. So then June 7th through the 9th is the 29th annual Cambridge Classic. It will be 50 teams. I would like to talk a little bit about that tournament, Chris, if we could.
Of course.
Yep. I'm going to run down some teams here. Now, it's even though we had some very nice weather 2-3 weeks ago, this is about the time of year when teams have their fundraisers and get organized and get all their people together. But I'm just going to run down this really quick. Here's some of the entries so far. TAT out of Duluth, which is George Eisenman and Reed. Probably a good C team. The Mafia out of Elk Riverish, a D team. Trey Cord from living in Arizona now, who's ran the TC Legacy team. He says they're getting together for the tournament. Schmidt Roofing / Dynamic Drips. And Extreme Graphics, Aragani Construction, a couple of B's and C's. Actually, what I think that is, without getting too deep into it, is probably Stoop, who split or whatever happened there. But two new teams out of that.
Okay.
Some league teams still standing, Sandlot, CBD Joint, Outcasters, Unbound Construction, New Legacy, Immortal Insulation, Studweiser's, Pizza Pub, Apex, and then we have Zeke's out of Champlin, I believe, the Chiefs out of the northern part of the cities, Joe McMahon entered today and paid to Homestead Auto / Berserk Athletics, Minnesota Wicked is in, Montlake Crew, Fairline. Not quite sure about Comatose or their D team. I have a hunch they'll be here. Stagecoach, Sons of Pitches. So we're in that, you know, 24 to 25, 26 range. That's all we're going to take is 32. So please get in contact with us if you... Ken, and I hope I didn't miss anybody there, but anyways, on the ladies' side, Minnesota Wreckers, Duck Tech, Minnesota Lunatics are all registered and paid, Northern Elite, TC Stars, Misfits, Minnesota Smoke / Apollo HVAC and Plumbing. Sounds like the Lady Regulators are in, Extreme, probably the Soda Girls. Most likely the free agents, maybe S2N / CTS out of, I think it's Heartland, Wisconsin. D D-Marini Blackhawk out of Illinois, I have not heard from them yet. They had talked about coming back. And I think On Point from Urbandale, Iowa is coming back up. So most likely a couple more late teams or at least one. And we are going to do 18 teams in that ladies this year, Chris. Change it to three divisions, three pools of six. That means five pool play games. And the reason I kind of figured that was the best way to do that is I'd like to have a clear definition of who's going to end up in the Tier 1, the Tier 2, and the Tier 3, or I should say the Platinum, the Gold, and the Bronze, so they play like competition. There'll be all kinds of prizes and awards for each division, but that's a 29th annual. That is a fun tournament. Lots of atmosphere, lots of people. So that's an update on that. Hopefully we have enough workers, which I think we will. Hopefully Silver's wife comes to the table to help out as she usually does. Mm-hmm. Three, four vendors, all kinds of fun. So the next weekend, June 15th, 16th, or 15th, 17th, I think it is, Maddie Nelson tournament. That was 44 teams last year. June 20th through the 30th is the local in-house CICB, probably around 15 teams. The baseball group is also talking about hosting a 13U baseball tournament that would bring about 32 teams as well. June 27th would be the state summer co-rec / Masters 35 tourney, probably be in the 10-team neighborhood, maybe more. August 3rd is the Damsel Youth Church tournament, I suppose 9 or 10 teams, am I right there?
It is fluid. We're still going through the sign-up process, but I would estimate it to be, I think 10 is probably where we'll be at, but that's kind of a fluid situation.
That's a cool tournament. I love that tournament. I guess we didn't hit on this too much, but it sounds like the Damsel Church Adult League could be 35 teams. So that tournament, August 9th through the 11th, August 16th through the 18th, the TOC North American Championships. So last year we had 42 teams. We've got a couple ladies teams that are all already registered for that. And then September 20th through the 22nd will be the Sober Draft, which really brings about 30 teams normally. So during the season, we'll host in the neighborhood of 275 teams, about 4,000 ball players. That's just for tournaments alone, not including leagues. But we all love tournaments, and come to Cambridge. We will treat you right.
All right, Duke. Well, you have a good one. I'll see you here. I'm sure I'll see you here soon here at the fields.
Sounds good. Thank you, Chris.
Have a good one. All right, so let's take a look at the different leagues here and relay what you need to know. We're going to start off with the men's league. And before we really get started, I want to give a shout-out to one of our sponsors, Dick Wrinkle Clothing. This is a new boxer brief company that our friend Blake Penzamas is involved with. Blake, as you all know, he's been involved with the softball community here for a long time, most notably with BP Metals, lots of sponsorships of teams, billboards, etc. So we really appreciate that. And this year he's actually purchased 5 billboards at Sandquist, one for each of the 5 companies that he's involved with. We have American Steel Designs, BP Metals, Executive Rentals, Executive Imports, and then, as I mentioned, Dick Wrinkle Clothing. You can order via their website, and they offer free shipping on orders over $50. Again, the site is dickwrinkleclothing.com. And please support them as they support us. We, again, really appreciate it. So now looking at the league, the season kicks off this coming Thursday, April 18th. There's going to be 16 teams in the league. And before I get into the teams, I just want to make you aware of one rule change specific to the men's league that really want to make sure everyone's aware of before you play your first game in case it comes up. This is regarding courtesy runners. So now the rule states this. A courtesy runner can be used for two batters per inning. The courtesy runner cannot be the same for both batters. If a team bats through the order, the same two batters are allowed to have a courtesy runner again in the same inning. So this is pretty straightforward. The big change here is instead of one courtesy runner, we have two. We just want to make sure that it's not the same player running for both of them. So you can't just take your fastest player and have them run for you two old guys on your team, for example. The spirit of this is to allow everyone to play, get courtesy runners if they need, but again, it's not meant to be taken advantage of. That's why you can't have the same player running for both players. So I think it's pretty straightforward, but again, just to make you aware that that's a rule unique to the men's league. I don't know this for certain, but I would assume that this is not a rule that would be in play if you're playing in a tournament somewhere else, etc. This is specific to the men's league here, so just be aware of that. So now looking at the teams, as I said, there's 16 teams, which is perfect. A lot of the teams are the same as we had in the league last year. They may have different names in some cases, and I'll try to translate these for you. So first off, we have DW Companies / Sweeters. This is Lazy's team, so I believe this is the Drillers. Then we have Pizza Pub, Lost Mule / BP Metals, Immortal Insulation, Unbound Construction, Sandlot, A1 Concrete. This is Peanut's team. So I believe this is the CBD joint team from last year, just with a new name. Apex, Studweiser's, New Legacy, Thunderhawks, Outcasters, which this is Brandon White's team. So I believe this is, I forget the name he had last year. I apologize, Brandon, but I believe this is just the same team with a new name. Still Standing, Bad News Bears. This is, I believe, a new team from Jimmy Lindblom. And Bronze Bombers. This is a new name. I don't recognize him from last year either. This is Ryan Davis's team. And then Twisted Pandas are back as well. And just remember, it's Quack Pack. That's the team Brandon had last year. So those are the 16 teams. Looks to be a very competitive league again. And again, 16 teams is absolutely perfect. So look forward to that season. All right, now looking at the women's league, and before we get started on that, really want to thank Pizza Pub for their continued sponsorship. And what I really love about Pizza Pub is they have so much more than pizza, and they deliver. So in addition to the great pizza, they also have burgers, pasta, salads, and over 20 different apps. I know there are a lot of moms in our women's league, and if you ever need an easy button to feed a large family with different preferences and have it delivered, Pizza Pub, in my opinion, is the best option in the area. So please support them as they support us. And now the Women's League is getting started Wednesday, May 8th. There's 9 teams this year. There were 10 last year, and it looks like they're all back except for the Electric Slide. It's a very tough league. Looking at the standings from last year, it looks like 7 of the 10 teams were 500 or better. That's pretty incredible. It shows the league's pretty competitive at the top. And two of the teams that were right around 500 last year, the Woodchucks and Jailbirds, as Duke mentioned earlier, they have some of their key players coming back. So they could jump up in the standings a bit as well. So looks to be a really competitive league and a lot of momentum being carried over from last year. Now onto the Masters. And before we begin, we'd like to thank the Cambridge Bar and Grill for being a longtime sponsor. Really hope everyone's been following along with their progress of their big expansion on Facebook, because they look to be doing some really great things. So if you haven't seen, they purchased the building next door to them, and they're working on remodeling it right now, and they're going to have actually a fold-out exterior window. So that's going to be a really cool thing here in downtown Cambridge. And the big news here, though, bigger than that, is they're adding wood-fired pizzas. And I'll tell you what, I consider myself to be a pizza connoisseur, and I literally can't wait for this. My opinion, wood fire pizza is the best, but it's difficult for someone to master that craft, so you can't just get that anywhere. You can't just buy a pizza wood pizza oven and make it good. You have to learn how to use that. And to demonstrate how serious these guys are, I saw their team flew out to New York to get some hands-on training, So I think this is going to be a game changer for downtown Cambridge, and really can't wait. Sounds like it'll be opening sometime this summer. So now looking at the Masters League, May 14th is the start date. There's six teams. Those teams are two different Chico's teams, Newmarket Maulers, Brad's Cab, JLS, the Drillers, and then the Fire Department. Really want to give a shout out here to Brad Reichel and anyone else involved, because when Duke and I had initially recorded this a couple weeks ago, it did not look like there was going to be a Masters League. There wasn't enough teams. So really hats off to them for getting the commitments and keeping this league going, because it's very important that we have a 35 and over league. All right, now it's time to talk about the Damsel Church League here. So I have Alan Goldsmith with me. He's the league director for the Damsel. Alan, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. You know, before we get started talking about the Damsel League, we got to thank another sponsor here. I want to shout out Dairy Queen. Both Cambridge and Isanti are sponsors this year, so we really appreciate that. And I was thinking, you know, all the times, it's been kind of tradition for our family and others to go to DQ after church games. First off, you got to understand something. The best blizzard in the world is the Cotton Candy Blizzard. And if you don't agree with me, I will argue with you about this all day. It is so good. You need to try it. And I actually hate cotton candy. I won't eat it. I can't stand it. But you throw it into a blizzard, and it's, I don't know what happens. It's crazy. It's so good. So you need to try that. And then the other pro tip I have for you is this. It's not on their menu, but you can actually get the DQ birthday cake filling. That gooey fudge stuff, you can get that in a blizzard as well, which is awesome. Add whatever else you want to it, but start off a blizzard with that and you won't be disappointed. So check that out. What about you?
You know, I like the churro blizzard that they had out for a while.
Good call.
But I'm not going to lie, back in the day growing up, I really enjoyed the Nerds blizzard when they had it.
Oh, yeah. I kind of forgot about that one. I don't know if they still have it or not, but that's a good one too. Now, looking at the season for Damsel here, starting May 7th, which is a Tuesday, we've got 30 teams, three divisions, just like last year, and we'll get to those division assignments here in just a second. But while I have your attention, I wanted to bring you up to speed on some recent news for Damsel. So this thing is involving you, Alan. So I think it was announced late last year that you were going to be stepping down as the league director, and we're kind of scrambling on what to do. But you ended up staying on board, and then there's going to be some changes made. So most notably, there's going to be each division's going to have a liaison assigned to them. How's that going to work?
So basically, anytime there's, you know, any issues or things that need to be brought to the board's attention, there'll be a single contact in each division that will get the information gathered and then to the board level to get a resolution on it.
Great. That sounds good. And those, my understanding is the folks fulfilling those roles, they're not set yet, but they will be soon, and then we'll communicate out to everyone so they know who to reach out to.
Yep. We're in the works of just getting some volunteers to do those roles. We've talked to a couple people, but just waiting to finalize everything.
Awesome. And then for the Youth League, I'll be, I guess, the league director for that. So more to come on that. If you're a youth coach, I'll be reaching out here soon regarding that. The next thing I want to cover is we now have an email mailing list. So if you go to the website, dalbleareamsl.com, the latest article is a sign up for the email newsletter. We're not going to use it to spam you. It's really going to be used for important announcements such as tournament information. Once the brackets are released, for example, off-season announcements for sign-ups, you know, big stuff like that. So all we need is your first name, last name, email address. Pretty straightforward. We won't sell your information. Don't worry about that. The other thing that I really want to call your attention to is we're going to track home runs this season on the website. All you have to do is when you submit a score via text or email, just let me know if anyone hit home runs. These are out-of-the-park home runs, so no inside-the-park, please. We don't want to count those, but if anyone hits an outside of the park home run, just give me their name and the number they hit, and we'll keep that tracked on the website. I think it'll be really cool to have on the site and have a leaderboard, and we'll tie that into the home run derby here at the end of the season. So now, final thing here before we get into the divisions is there's two rule changes I want to call your attention to. I'll just kind of read them as they're written, and then Al, if you want to kind of add any context to those or examples, that would be great. First is, two women must be on the field and in the top 10 of every team's batting order at all times. If you have only one woman, your team must play one fielder short. You may still bat all of your batters, but you must have a female in your top 10 batters and taken out when the second woman's spot comes up. This out must be taken in one of the first 10 batters of the lineup. If a team has no woman, the game may still be played, but the team with no women will play with only 8 fielders in the field. You may still bat all of your batters, but the team must take an out in 2 spots within the top 10 of your lineup.
Yeah, it is pretty straightforward. The biggest thing is, you know, we wanna try to curb anybody from, and this kind of happened last year at the tournament where the team didn't have any girls. You know, they played another team. They batted. They had a super good couple innings where they batted through a couple times, and you know, there was really no penalty. We want to avoid that because, I mean, obviously, it's not a men's league. We encourage each team to have a couple of females on their team, and we just really want to penalize it even harsher when they don't. So I think this rule was pretty heavily discussed at the league meeting, and this with so, and it was voted on by most of the managers and coaches at the meeting.
Yeah, it was pretty much, I think it was unanimous. Everyone was in favor of this. The debate or talk was just around the semantics and maybe some very specific scenarios. But yeah, this is, I think, pretty easy to understand and should be a good change for the league. The second one is regarding age limits. And again, I'll read it as it's written. So adult players must be 16 years of age prior to the start of the season. If turning age 15 within the calendar year of the season, youth players must have softball board approval to play on an adult team. The coaches from both teams must also approve before the start of the game. If a 14 turning 15 in the calendar year or 15-year-old has played in at least 4 games during the season, they no longer need approval from opposing coaches and are then considered eligible to play in the tournament. Youth players cannot be older than 15 years old and cannot turn 16 within the youth season.
The biggest factors for this one was, you know, the last couple of years, we've got a lot of baseball players that grow up in this area, and a lot of players, when they hit that kind of 14 to 15 range, sometimes it gets a little bit tricky for them to be playing against kids that are in that 8, 9, 10 range. Could be dangerous, you know, if a ball is hit in a line drive and at a younger player. So MSF has implemented this rule, and it's worked out pretty good for all their men's leagues that they run. So it follows most of their rules anyway. So we just figured we'd update this and give it a go.
Yeah, makes sense. Again, safety is the motivating factor here. So I think that'll be a welcome change. So now it's time to look at the divisions. And I should preface this by saying there's a little... It's a kind of a fluid situation even tonight as we're recording this because we have an odd number of teams in Division 2 and Division 3, and we'll get to that in a second. But Division 1 is set. So there's 8 teams in Division 1. We have New Hope Cambridge 1, championship last year, and we've got a little inside news. We've got some sources in these teams, let's just say that. So I can give you guys a little inside information here. So as far as the roster goes, New Hope lost their catcher last year, who I understand was a phenomenal player. They lost half their starting outfield as well, but they're adding James and Mary Klimek to the team, so they should be just fine. Crosspoint 1 is returning. They got third place last year. I know they're adding a young guy. Ben and Nick were telling me about this. Young Bagels, I believe is his name, debuting this year.
He was a pitcher in the youth league last year.
Oh, okay. I would probably recognize him. And I know I met him at the league directors meeting, but I don't think I really knew who he was before that. But it sounds like he's a phenomenal player. So
yeah,
that'll be good to see.
Perfect.
Carmel is back. They're going to have one team. It's like there might be two, but there is only going to be one Carmel team this year again. But they added Kelsey McFarland, and I don't know if they're adding anybody else to that team, but they were, I think, 13-1 during the regular season and got second place. So pretty awesome team there. Returning, they, of course, lost Kelsey McFarland to Carmel. The Oxlip Clown Sharks, this is an interesting one. They were, I want to say, 0-14 during the season last year. But they're kind of getting their band back together. So,
well, and technically, last year it wasn't the Clown Sharks; it was just the Oxlip team. So now
that's
that Josiah's coming back out of retirement for the Church League and taking that team over again and getting the Clown Sharks back together.
Great point. I'm glad you mentioned that because they had me specifically remove Clown Sharks from the name last year because it was not the Clown Sharks. So it's more appropriate to say the Oxlip Clown Sharks are returning this year. So Josiah Schumann is coaching. Luke Snell is coming back to pitch for the team. He was on North Isani 2 last year. And then Refuge 1 is returning as well. They beefed up their lineup a little bit. They added Kyle and Connor Johnson. They're coming from Eagle Brook. And then two new teams to D1. We have the Salem Swamp Dogs. They were first in D2 last year during the regular season. And then North Isani 1 coming back up. They've been bouncing back and forth between D1 and D2 the last few years. The D2 tourney last year. And like they always do, when they get to D1, they beef up their lineup. So they're adding Adam Madison and then bringing back two players who played for them previously, Danny Grant and Jeremy Freeman. So they look to be a contending team again this year in D1. So now looking at D2, this is where it gets a little, things are up in the air a little bit. So currently there's 9 teams. This will hopefully either end up at 8 or 10. We would definitely want to have an even number. So we'll see what happens here. Alan's actually been making some calls, recording this here a little bit earlier. So start off with the changes. So Cambridge Lutheran, they're moving down from D1. And then Eagle Brook, they're also moving down from D1. Then we have New Hope Cambridge 2. That's a team that I'm actually coaching, and we've got Justin Domino and Caleb Betker coming over from the D1 team as well. And then Caden Chesla is coming up to this team from One Accord, who was a D3 team last year.
So I heard a little rumor that
Caden
Chesla's parents, Jake and Sue, are coming out of retirement to play on this team as well. Is that
true? That is correct. Yes, they're two of several players I've coerced out of retirement to come play for us. So we got the Allstroms, Craig, Derek, Cody, Tara, Carl O'Neill is coming out of retirement to play, several others. So it's going to be a fun season. I'm really looking forward to it. Then we've got Refuge 2, South Isani. They're always tough. I hope we get them before Jake is back in Arizona, but I believe he's actually going to be back before our church season starts, so I won't get to luck out there. But they're always fun to play against. And then North Isani 2, again, they've lost Luke Snell, who went back to Oxlip, but they were a great team last year and a lot of young guys, so they'll be tough. Cross Point 2, First Baptist is returning. They were one of the top teams last year. As of right now, Salem Saints are penciled in for D2 here. Anything else you want to add to D2 before I move on?
I don't think so. Just looking forward to having a New Hope team in each of the three divisions this year since we were only at one team last year. So it's going to be a fun season.
I agree. It's nice to kind of have a softball program like they do at Cross Point and North Isani and develop the game. So a lot of players just needed people to coach. So as of right now, there's 13 teams, and again, hopefully we end up with 12 or 14. So we have New Hope Isani. That's a new team that's coached by Jacob Toski. Jacob played for Home Church last year. Bill Bushway is moving with him as well from Home Church over to New Hope Isani. There's probably some others moving over. I'm just not privy to who those are. But you know both of those guys. They've been around the complex for a while. Linwood, they're moving down from D2. And also want to thank Linwood. They secured a home field for their games this year in Stacy. Looks really nice. It's got a covered picnic area, playground for them. Having that field really helps with scheduling. The more fields we can get, the better with this number of teams. North Isani 3 returns. And then there's another North Isani team that's new this year, North Isani 4. They'll be coached by Brandon Jenish. And then we've got returning Cross Point 3, Home Church, who won the championship last year, Oxlip Ballhawks, One Accord, Souls, Long Lake Lutheran, River of Life, Refuge 3, and then Dale.
And Home Church technically should be moving up this year, but a split from their team last year, and we've got New Hope Isani and Home Church coming back with a couple of players each from that old championship team in D3. Mm-hmm. Both teams have quite a few newer players that are even new to softball, so we decided to keep those two teams kind of down in D3 just to see how it pans out this year.
Yep, makes sense. And one thing I'm interested in seeing is, because I didn't get to see a lot of their games last year during the regular season, but with Dale, with Jeff Wickland, he hits during the tournament. I wonder, is that like that during the season, or does he just save those up for the tournament? So interested to see the leaderboard for home runs this year. So again, coaches, be sure to send those home run tallies in when you submit your scores. Anything else you want to add, Alan? Any last words?
I don't think so. Just hoping for a good season and looking at kicking off here in a couple weeks.
Yep. Appreciate you being on the show. Have a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. You too.
So we're going to make up for some lost time here. Never got an episode in at the end of the season. Wanted to recognize some teams and players for their accomplishments, so let's get started. First off, we want to recognize North Branch Chev on winning the Co-Rec League in the fall. With a 12-2 record, they edged out three different 10-win teams in Mason's Crew, Immortal Insulation, and Average Joe's. So congrats are in order to North Branch Chev because you are podcast-worthy. Sticking with the fall Co-Rec League, the men's MVP was Matt Hannon from Awesome Sauce. So congratulations to you, Matt, because you are podcast-worthy. Women's MVP from the fall Co-Rec League was Ashley Asmus from the Outcasts. So congrats are in order to you, Ashley, because you are podcast-worthy. Pizza Pub of North Branch, they defeated Fun to Watch 21-20 to win the Tier 2 state tournament in the fall Co-Rec League in Sauk Rapids. So congrats, Pizza Pub of North Branch, because you are podcast-worthy. The Men's Fall League champions was Unbound Construction. They edged out Pizza Pub and Apex to win the title. So congrats, Unbound, because you are podcast-worthy. The MVP of the Fall League was Bobby Wilson of Unbound Construction. So congrats, Bobby, because you are podcast-worthy. And finally, the Thunderhawks. They defeated New Legacy to win the Tier 3 state title in the fall men's tournament in Sauk Rapids. So congrats to you, Thunderhawks, because you are podcast worthy. All right, well, that's a wrap, guys. Appreciate you listening. Looking forward to the season, and keep those podcast worthy plays coming. If you see any that you want nominated for the show, just hit me or Duke up, and we'll get you on. Thanks, and have a good one.